Well, thank you very much, James, for reading that to us. And a reminder that it's on page 1006 of the New Testament part of the church Bibles that you should have around. But there might be some more. There are some more coming. It's great to hear that. Brilliant. They're here, apparently. That's great. Let me say a prayer. Our loving Heavenly Father, as you spoke through your Son, Jesus Christ, and the storm was calmed, please would we sit like that storm under the authority of your words this morning, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you know that every year 6,500 vehicles crash into roadworks in our country because drivers aren't paying any real attention to what's going on around them? Maybe you've done this before, driving down the motorway with traffic cones kind of pinging along as you go. It's probably quite fun, isn't it? About 4 years ago, you know how they close the junctions on the M27 and it's very frustrating. I was driving along just as they were doing that, and I didn't really notice that someone was putting out traffic cones and this bit was closed. I just kept on driving, and the man just sort of frantically waved at me and shouted something. Actually, it was brilliant. I had the motorway all to myself, and I didn't have to drive through Swathling or somewhere ridiculous like that. It was brilliant, and I got to my destination just as planned. Of course, it's actually no laughing matter. Every year, road workers are killed because drivers aren't paying attention to the roadworks that they should be able to see going on around them. Well, the big headline from Mark's eyewitness account of the life of Jesus, the big headline from Jesus' words to us today is that you and I need to pay attention, pay very special attention to the words of Jesus. That's the big challenge we've got before us today. It's the big headline we're going to be thinking about for the next few minutes. And there are three little encouragements as well that we'll look at after that. We should pay attention, and the kingdom of God will be known, and it will grow without your work, and it will grow even when it seems small. So challenge and three small encouragements there. Do pay attention, Jesus says. Verse 24 of our passage on page 1006 again. Consider carefully what you hear, Jesus continued. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you and even more. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. Now, our passage today, the parable of the sower that we looked at last week is kind of hanging over everything we're thinking about today. It's looming large, and we're getting a little bit more commentary on that today. And the parable of the sower, I'll just remind you, is all about listening to God's words. And sometimes when we listen to God's word, sometimes when that seed of God's word is sown, it bears fruits. It makes a huge difference in people's lives and the world around them. Other times, it's not thought about again. It just disappears. Like a seed being snatched away like a bird. Other times it starts to grow, but the pressure of all the other things that we want to do in life squashes it. Other times persecution. Someone saying to us, do you really want to be a Christian? Don't take it too seriously. That squashes it as well, and it ceases to grow. Jesus is still talking about listening here, and he says, consider carefully what you hear. Pay careful attention. It's a reminder that Jesus taught in parables, which people often think is a way of making things simpler and easy to digest. But that's not Jesus' explanation of why he taught in parables. Jesus taught in parables, he explains earlier on in our chapter, so that people might be ever seeing but never perceiving, ever hearing but never understanding. Parables are like riddles. They enclose the truth in something that invites you to think hard and deeply about what is being said. Now, I use stories in my sermons to make them slightly easier to listen to. I hope that works. But Jesus didn't do that. Jesus told stories to give us something hard to ponder and reflect on. Pay careful attention, he says, to what you've heard, to what you hear. The parables of Jesus are like those massive gobstoppers you used to be able to buy at the fun fair. You know, it would take about 4 hours to eat one. It wasn't a quick snack by any measure of the imagination. Or was it? It's something that might be so big, actually, that somebody used to take it out and put it beside the bed to have another go at it the next day. The parables of Jesus are like that. They take time and they take concentration. Of course, this is really difficult, isn't it? In an age where we expect everything to be simple. All information should be simply explained so that we can easily understand it. But not everything about being a Christian is like that. There's a trend, I don't know if you've seen this, of being able to get simplified versions of great books, whether that's works of literature, which we always feel I should have read that by this age, or great sort of textbooks on all sorts of things we'd like to know more about, and it can be summarized very shortly. Of course, there are some things which actually don't really work very well if you summarize them very simply, like the great novels of human history. I wonder if you can recognize what novel this is, summarized in one sentence. An insane 50-year-old Spanish nobleman can't tell the difference between fantasy and reality, asks a rat farmer to join him fighting windmills.
Don Quixote.
Oh, I know. I think John's going to get all of these, actually. Brilliant. It was Don Quixote. Excellent. A massive book and a great classic of Spanish literature. A broke college dropout becomes convinced that he needs to kill a pawnbroker because that's what great men do. Who knows what book that is? Oh, James, it's so close. Oh, it's Crime and Punishment by Dostoevsky. How about this one? This one, you should get this one. In between describing the whaling industry, a lonely sailor joins a maniac captain to show a sperm whale whose boss. It's Moby Dick, isn't it? Well, of course, if someone could describe any of the great novels with one sentence, it would still be worth taking the time to read them, wouldn't it? Because the effect of the novel is not just to communicate one simple truth, it's to work deeply within us, to allow ourselves to be affected by the characters and the story and the artistry of the author. So are the parables of Jesus. They're not sound bites. They are deep truths to be reflected on. And so is all the teaching of the Bible. Pay attention to what you hear, says Jesus. Give real time to reflect on the truths of God's word. Don't expect it all to be simple, all to be easy, but give real time, real mental energy to understanding God's word. Of course, we try to do that in church, don't we? But that, for a Christian, should be the tip of the iceberg. Because a Christian who wants to know God and know his words should be reading the Bible at home and looking for opportunities to get to know God better. It's probably true to say that the average Christian today is much, 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 much more ignorant of the Bible than a Christian even 150 years ago, which is astonishing, really, isn't it? And it's no comment on anyone here in particular, because the same is true of vicars. Some of you might know that I did a doctorate in theology, and that today that makes me on the more educated end of vicars. But back in the 19th century, I'd be on the thicker end of the vicar education spectrum. I'm writing a book about a second century theologian called Ignatius of Antioch. And 120 years ago, the Bishop of Durham wrote a three-volume work on the same subject. And compared to that, my book is a silly footnote. And he did that whilst running a diocese with thousands and thousands of people in it, much busier than I'll ever be. The quality of our Christian knowledge is much lower today than it has been in the past. And that's astonishing in an age of information where we can find out anything we want to so easily. Of course, there's nothing wrong with not knowing something, but there is something wrong with not wanting to know something, having no desire to find out the answer to something. Pay careful attention, says Jesus, to what you hear. Give time to reflect on God's word. We might think to ourselves, well, I'm never going to understand the Bible. It's too complicated. Well, here's the first of our three little encouragements. The kingdom of God, Jesus says, will be known. Verse 20, he said to them, do you bring in a lamp to put it under a bowl or bed? Instead, don't you put it on a stand? For whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. Jesus here declares his intention that he should be known. that the great truths he speaks of in parables are meant to be known. Just because it's difficult doesn't mean that you won't find out the answer, because the purpose of Jesus' teaching is not a secret mystery just to be known by some initiates. It's great truth to be known by anyone who seeks that great promise. Whoever knocks, the door will be opened to them. Jesus says the purpose of his teaching here is to be known. Nothing is going to be hidden. There's one little encouragement. We're still thinking about seeds and sowing. And just as in the parable of the sower, the seed represents the word of God being sown. There's a subtle shift here. And we've got two little stories telling us about the seed. But the seed represents the kingdom of God itself. That's where God's people live under God's authority. We live as though God is the king of our lives. We obey him and we seek to do his will. Two little further encouragements. That kingdom, Jesus says, will grow regardless of how hard you and I work at it. It's right to think and to work hard to understand the words of God. But if we fail to do that, it's not going to stop the kingdom from growing. As a vicar, that's massively encouraging to me. I hope as a Christian, it's encouraging to you as well. Verse 26. This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground night and day. Whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. That seed that's buried in the ground, but the man's not doing anything to grow it, but it is growing. It's a great encouragement. The kingdom of God, God's people living under God's authority, will grow, and its growth has very little relation to how much work we put into it. Now, that's no excuse, of course, for not working hard at our Christian faith. But it's a great reminder. The Church of England has spent a lot of energy recently in trying to reach out to different people groups to be more diverse, to have younger people. Huge amounts of money have been spent on this. But the great truth is that will happen regardless of big initiatives and millions of pounds spent. It's also possible to look at the Church of England and think, well, it seems to have totally forgotten about the kingdom of God as well. It seems to have a totally different agenda. Well, if that's the case, that doesn't really matter either. Even if the Church of England as an institution forgets about the kingdom of God, God won't forget about his kingdom, and it will continue to grow whether we wake or whether we sleep. And here's a final encouragement. The kingdom will grow even when it seems small. Again, he said, what should we say the kingdom of God is like, verse 30? Or what parable should we use to describe it? It's like a mustard seed, which is the smallest of the seeds on earth. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds can perch in its shade. That little bit about birds perching in its shade is not just an incidental detail. This whole image is taken from Daniel chapter 4, which gives us a picture of God's kingdom, the new work that God is going to do of blessing the whole world through a tree of life. Trees are very symbolic in the Bible, aren't they? There's the tree in Revelation, the leaves of which are for the healing of the nations. And don't we need the nations to be healed as we look at the world around us today and the conflict in what you might call the Holy Land? Don't we need the nations to be healed? Of course, the tree in the Garden of Eden, the tree symbolizing our rejection of God in the first place, which brings so much evil into the world. But the promise of restoration, the promise of blessing to the world, is another promise of a tree. And this tree grows from something very, very small. It's easy to look at all the empty seats in our church, and perhaps it's right for us to feel very weak and small as a church. And it's even more humbling to realise that in our diocese, our church is one of the more vibrant ones. That's quite frightening, isn't it? And we're certainly on the top couple of percent in terms of the number of children that we have in our church. And that's not entirely my fault. So that's very encouraging for us, but it's also quite sad to think that the bigger picture is one of weakness and failure, and yet God uses what is small and weak to become something great. The kingdom of God, even if it seems tiny, is growing. And regardless of how hard you and I work, we'll bring blessing to the nations. So let's pay attention. Let's give careful thought to the word of God. If you've not done so, pick up some Bible reading notes at the back of the church. We always make those available. But let me just say that's a starting point. You can go further than that. So we've got our Focus Bible Study Group up in the Resource Centre on Wednesday evenings with a lovely meal. And this week we're thinking about the very nature of God. Like, who or what is God? How would you describe God? If you think I would struggle to answer that question, there's an invitation. Come along this Wednesday evening if you can. And you'll be fed first with physical food and then afterwards some spiritual food as well. Let me say a prayer. Loving Father, we thank you that everything will be made known like a light shining on its stand. So help us to reflect on your word, to mull it over, to meditate upon it, and be blessed as we do so. Amen.